this July 4th weekend, stock up on your favorite supplements during the Independence Day sale at my online dispensary, drhoffmanstore.com. Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? Living with pain can cause depression, overeating, anxiety, loss of sleep, and low quality of life. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals. Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposome technology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. It contains powerful antioxidant properties and plant-based curcumin used to possibly reduce inflammation and block proteins that trigger swelling and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216. Or go to myfuturefarm.com. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works without adverse side effects. Get free shipping on all of your orders at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today's guest, Dr. Jaime Salas-Rushford. He's been on the front lines of treating COVID-19 here in New York. I guess you practice both in Puerto Rico and in New York City. Is that correct?
Yes.
And he's also on the front lines of consulting with New York companies about how to get their employees back to work by writing opening protocols and establishing testing logistics. So tell us a little bit about that work, because, you know, I got to say, it's almost easier to lock down than to open up, and especially with the background noise of, you know, there being some intimations of more cases out west and in the south, it's putting a little bit of a logjam in plans to normalize, especially here in New York. So, what are you telling businesses about how to set things up so that employees can be safe?
So basically, I was with many other volunteers that I have to give thanks, given their time, exposure, and everything, leaving their families and coming to New York City. We gained a lot of knowledge of how COVID was coming about in the city and in different situations, and learning from, you know, the different people that came through the ER. So once everything settled down, a few of us got called in by a few private companies to kind of reread their protocols on emergency, because they didn't call a pandemic. And since COVID is so specific, they asked us to revise and actually try to, you know, bring about different COVID specific scenarios that they can be prepared, because a lot of these companies deal with hundreds of employees or thousands of customers. So I was, I was fortunate enough to be part of this and be able to contribute what I've learned on the clinical side to be able to do something that it's safe. But at the end of the day, it's a socioeconomic issue, right?
Yeah.
Although, and on top of that, it's a medical issue. So we have to try to put economy, society, and medicine in a balance to see how they can interact with each other and be able to resume life, because we need to earn a living. We need to eat. We need to continue doing stuff.
And that's very well said, because I think our bias as doctors is to save lives and protect people from illness. But and one of the reasons that I think a lot of, quote, health authorities are catching a lot of flack is that their considerations are primarily medical, but the societal implications of a continued, I mean, sure, it'd be great, you know, let's all, you know, shelter in place and, you know, nobody will get sick. But our economy will grind to a halt. There'll be a major mental illness and economic hardship, and it's going to be a catastrophe. So, yeah, we have to look at, keep things in balance and perspective.
About the last week of my stay in the ER, this 40-something-year-old lady came in with her son, 10-year-old son. I remember them. She, I think, was Costa Rican. She came in very pale, kind of, you know, sadly looking, and she came in and was like, how can I help you? It's like 2 in the morning. She's, doctor, I need food. I'm hungry. Like, what do you mean you need food? You're hungry. So, you know, this lady lost her job 6 weeks before from the pandemic, and she was trying to manage her way. Unemployment didn't kick in that quickly, and she was really hungry. So that, you know, you have as doctors just a medical emergency.
Yes.
But there's also a social emergency, how people can earn a living and feed the child. they were, as clinicians, we know when people are giving us, you know, not the right story, but this time she was really dehydrated. Mm-hmm. She was malnourished. You can see they haven't eaten in a few days. Mm-hmm. And that opened their eyes, and I brought all the other doctors in. Look, we're dealing with a very serious issue, not only medical, but there's a social economic part that is going to, might be worse than the actual disease, in a sense, of how can people earn a living and pay for their shelter, their rent, and everything, and so forth. So that was a key moment that I lived in the ER that has stayed with me since then.
Well, so what is it going to look like, you know, when people go back to work? You know, New York is designed precisely to optimize population density. You know, we have these huge office buildings with open floor plans, and we have the elevators. And, you know, when I get on the elevator in my office building, you know, about 10 or 12 people cram onto the elevator because it's, you know, it's 5 to 9 and everybody's, you know, late for work. What's it going to look like when people return? Are we going to stagger elevators? Are we going to limit the number of people who get on? Are we going to have work in shifts? How can we minimize the potential for a second wave?
I have to say it's very interesting. Going out now, like below days now in the city, going to restaurants that open, they're sitting outside, talking to the owners, talking to the people I've known for many years. It's hard to make ends meet when you're only serving, you know, 40% of your customers. Doesn't matter if it's takeout or whatever.
Yeah, when your margin is like, you know, 6%, you know, and you're limited to 25% of your customers, that's not going to work.
You know, even doctors now, and I can tell you Puerto Rico, now they're asking all the doctors to actually go and see patients by previous appointments, sterilize everything before. But in Puerto Rico, for example, like a general internist might get from the insurance of each visit $23.
Yeah.
In order to pay overhead, you need to see, you know, 25-30 patients a day.
Yeah.
Yes. If you only can see 8, how can you actually pay your malpractice insurance, your two employees? So I think people are going to downsize to a point that it might not be at the long run socially feasible.
Yeah.
You know, you need to have access to food. You need to have access to services. You need to call in and not wait 2 hours online for customer service, you know? It has to be this balance. And I'm very worried about if we're going to go extreme the other way of that, you know, shift work and diluting the volume to a point that it can compromise long-run social stability and also medical wellness.
So is there, I mean, the other perspective is, you know, maybe we flatten the curve, we minimize the burden on the hospital, we keep the very, very vulnerable people sequestered, but we let people go back to work and, you know, use masks and socially distance, and some people are going to get a little sick. And, you know, maybe we'll achieve herd immunity like we do with, you know, other common respiratory diseases.
Health workers have been the less infected and the less susceptible to the virus in general.
That's encouraging.
Why?
That's encouraging.
Because we did the important thing is to do little things very well. Two things you need to do is wash your hands and wear a mask. What do we do as healthcare professionals? Wear a mask all the time and wear gloves.
Yes.
That's all we do.
Right.
We deal with much worse conditions and diseases than COVID. We get exposed to liquids, to blood, to saliva, you name it. You and I have been exposed to everything in our training.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
And what did we do? We're basic protective gear, but we wear it very well. We adhere to it. We use it all the time. You would never draw blood without gloves. Like no doctor would actually draw blood without a glove. So for us, it's innate. So as society understands that we can do this, they only need to do simple things, you know, stay 6 feet apart, wear a mask, and just wash your hands. We should be in general okay. The part is, you know, obviously we have a primal need to be social. How can we fight that primal need to be social versus just doing a few things for now to be able to survive and be social again?
And that's the issue. And I think, you know, what we saw in the South and the West was kind of the blowback of social isolation is, you know, especially young people said, you know, I'm sick and tired of this. I'm graduating from high school. I'm graduating from college. I want to get together with my buds. We can party. We can go to bars. And then, boom, we've got some more cases, unfortunately.
Correct. And, you know, you and I, we're blessed. We were able to have good graduation, senior proms and everything. And we have to put our shoes in our place in their shoes. You know, this is life changing milestones that people need to go through their lives. And they look back and we remember all those things when we're older. And we actually remember, and it makes us stronger with our friends. We remember things that we did, good or bad, right? You know, whatever we did back in the day. So those things actually shape how we build as a society. But we have to weigh it out on if we can survive as a society just not having those things for a generation, maybe.
One of the things that's been happening is that there's been a tremendous run on immune supporting, and I put that in quotation marks, supplements, vitamin C and D and zinc and selenium. You also focus on one that's not one of the alphabet vitamins. It's got a lot of letters, AHCC. Yeah. So what do you see as some of the more important players in helping to support immunity?
So for a quick laugh, the CVS next to the apartment I stay, the most shoplifting they had is on the vitamins. So, you know.
Shoplifting, okay.
Yeah, no, it's true. I asked actually manager, and people have gone in and they actually have them on the lock and key. If you need supplements, you have to call the manager to actually unlock the thing
It used to be cold remedies and razor blades, and
Now it's vitamins. Wow. So, and in the hospital in Coney Island, you know, we ran out of vitamin C and zinc because now doctors are realizing that those immune support vitamins and supplements are actually important. Yes, a few things. Like, personally, I use the one that you said, HCC. It's a mushroom extract that it's very well developed in a way that it's been proven scientifically to help fight cold and flu symptoms. I actually did a lot of research in it. And what I can tell you from my personal experience is that my private patients that I early on gave it to them, they did not get symptoms from COVID. That doesn't mean they didn't get COVID. That means they never got any symptoms. Personally, my mom got COVID. She got really sick. I was very worried.
Yeah.
And I was concerned I was going to only have a father, not a mother.
Yeah.
But my father has prostate cancer, and HCC is widely used for prostate cancer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was taking it since last year.
Yeah.
They live together. He's 80. She's a few years younger.
Yeah.
She was really sick, very scared. My dad didn't get anything. He's he was like, what's the fuss about?
Yeah.
I'm strong as an ox. And
he
was all over the place. So I found that for whatever reason, this immunomodulator compound, it kind of acts everything that we talked about before. It's an anti-inflammatory. So it helps like a steroid. It actually modulates the immune system, meaning that it doesn't let the immune system go haywire or crazy as the COVID comes in. It built a more robust and more strong fight against viruses, mostly the influenza virus. But what I've seen is it might have some cross-reactivity with COVID in the sense that it's helping those patients maybe not developing the symptoms so openly as if they weren't taking it.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this important message with you. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by a suite of professional-grade products from Protocol for Life Balance, which helps support optimal cardiovascular health. Ubiquinol, natokinase, and MK7K2. They play a central role in cellular energy production and maintaining proper blood flow and arterial elasticity. But they're only available from healthcare practitioners. But they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance for more information and to order. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource for you with great guests like today's Dr. Jaime Salas Rushford. Now back to Dr. Salas Rushford. There's some buzz in the integrative community about excessively boosting the immune system, causing this cytokine storm, this immune system hyperreactivity that creates such a multi-organ failure syndrome in patients who are very sick. Is there any danger in, you know, when you take these so-called immune supportive nutrients, in fostering that? Is there time to withhold those?
Well, there's certain conditions that you shouldn't really, there's certain medications in the medical field that you're taking immunosuppressants, right? and you need to suppress your immune system. So there's certain specific conditions, like everything else, that you should not take immune modulators or immune boosters. And this is why if you take any prescribed medication or any over-the-counter supplement, you need to talk to your healthcare provider to make sure they don't interact. People who are in Coumadin or anticoagulation shouldn't take some certain types of supplements, right?
Right.
So it's the same thing. Like if you're going to go into this immune system buildup with supplements, you need to sit down with your doctor. And I think now doctors are getting it, that they work in the right situation and chronically. It's not that you're going to take vitamin C, HCC, or vitamin D tomorrow, and you're going to be superhuman immunity the next day. That doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
You have to build up on it and make that part of your daily routine in a more chronic, long-term fashion. So COVID, what it's telling us is we need to transform in the long term how we see our body, how we get our nutrition, how we do exercise, and how we actually help our body be stronger, not only physically, but immunity and also mentally. Because COVID has been, you know, has brought mental breakdowns to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also a mental hygiene situation from COVID.
Right. In addition, there's some evidence that high levels of cortisol, I just read a very fascinating article that suggests that high levels of cortisol predict worsened outcomes of COVID-19. So, look, I'm not saying it's all in your head or, you know, it's just a state of mind, but cultivating mental resilience through exercise or yoga or mindfulness practices, meditation, may help, may be part of the equation in terms of protection.
Correct. It's you have to preserve sanity. You can actually stress yourself out to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
People really stress out their bodies and their minds in a way that they get sick from the stress.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen it from worsening cardiac failure, worsening asthma, worsening conditions, just from sheer stress of work, of family, or whatever. What is interesting, though, is during COVID, those 8 weeks, I think I saw 2 heart attacks in 8 weeks in the ER, which was fascinating. Like,
where are all these people with heart attacks? Because usually it's like, right? What happened?
Yeah, it's a daily thing. What happened to all those people? They came in with stress and stress-related worsening of their chronic conditions. They were not showing up. Either they stayed home, or
mm-hmm.
maybe the fact that we're staying home and kind of society just halted to a stop
mm-hmm.
took enough stress out of their lives to be mm-hmm. able to calm down and maybe not worsen their chronic conditions. So that's a whole different, you know, study we need to do of what happened to all those conditions that we usually see in the ER.
Well, it's kind of like studies that show that when the doctors go on strike, people's health improves. A couple of studies like that. But my concern is that a lot of people with chronic conditions have been loath to see their doctors, and those chronic conditions are not being addressed. I mean, I talk to patients through telemedicine with diabetes that's poorly controlled. They need to get an appointment with an endocrinologist for better fine-tuning, and they can't get an appointment till like November.
Correct.
Yeah. So,
this is... You know, COVID was a test to our primary care system. Unfortunately, through the last decade, primary care has actually gone down to the back burner.
Yes, it has.
And you know, you have the most world-renowned specialists on every single thing. There are people that can specialize in the most tiny cell in the human body, and they can fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you know, you bring all those old-fashioned mom-and-pop doctors who can see you getting sick a mile away, and they knew the primary care importance and how to just do basics. And I think we need to step back and go back to basics. People need to have their own doctor and doctors they see frequently, not going to a sub specialty once every 3 years. They should have somebody who knows them. Like when I see my patients and I look like Mr. Such, I think you're not looking good. Oh, now you're right, doctor. You know,
mm-hmm.
how do you know that? Because I see you every 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something odd with you. And we have to go back to that primary care setting. And I think first, it's cheaper. Second, it's more one-to-one. People mm-hmm. want one-to-one treatment. There's no more one-to-one than having your doctor you see every 3 months and knows you, right?
Indeed.
And third, you know, this showed how fragile our primary care is, because we had all the specialties being volunteers, and only a handful of doctors knew primary care. So even though we have a lot of healthcare practitioners come into the ER, you know, a lot of people forgot when you're a dermatologist for 20 years, it's hard to use a ventilator, right? Or it's hard to remember how to do antibiotics IV for pneumonia. So we have to go back to that original kind of care one-to-one setting to be able to do better in health-wise as a society.
Maybe, you know, your perspective can help me out with sort of a conundrum, which is when this started, I thought that the Caribbean and Latin America would be slammed by this. I mean, people are poorer. The medical care, frankly, in, you know, some of the countries, you know, you being the exception down there in Puerto Rico, is a little haphazard. Some of the countries are very poor countries. And yet, we haven't really seen that. So how do you explain that paradox?
Look, I can tell you the example from Costa Rica. I have a very good friend from Costa Rica, and I kind of do Instagram lives every so often to try to take very complicated medical jargon into basic stuff. And I called my friend from Costa Rica, and I said, Ronnie, come on, what's going on? What's going on in Costa Rica? Oh, we're going to the cinema. We're opening Costa Rica.
Right.
Like, how the hell did you... How did
this
happen?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's unheard of that you're going to the cinema and I'm going to this chaotic inferno, right, of patients.
Mm-hmm.
They said, look, primary care here is basic. We don't have that much money. All we can do is do primary care and basic medicine.
Mm-hmm.
We told everybody to go to their homes and look for symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And every time somebody got a symptom, the government went to their homes with either be like Tylenol, cough medication, whatever, in a little bag, put it in front of the door and left and leave.
Mm.
So they were actually treating everything basically, like very basic.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to actually get numbers down and be controlled. So I think those quote unquote poor countries might have also benefit from having a better primary care.
Right.
In a sense that, you know, they might not have 20 MRIs like we have. But maybe they have mom and pop doctors from the corner who were able to treat the flu and treat those things. That's number one. And second, you know, other industrialized big cities in Latin America actually got slammed.
Yeah.
So the metropolitan section, got slammed.
Does it have anything to do with the underlying fitness of the population? Because, you know, one thing about the U.S., you know, more affluent, higher incidence of obesity, although that's spreading to the so-called third world. Do you think that individuals who do more physical work, spend more time outdoors, and subsist on simpler diets may be shielded in some way from this?
Well, in my personal life, I'm vegetarian. Most of my athletes that I treat in my sport medicine side in my clinics are vegan or athletic or vegetarian. I do think that we should not concentrate ourselves in being healthy because of COVID. I think in general, we need to work into being healthier and taking COVID out of the equation. In general, we need to actually work on our muscle strength, work on our lung capacity. So I'm afraid that people are going to do this because of COVID. They should actually start doing it because it helps many other conditions. You might not have a COVID, but you have hypertension.
Mm-hmm.
And just do an exercise, might lower hypertension. You might not need the medication anymore. Your kidneys are better. You live a happier, longer life, you know.
And so, keeping it in perspective, it's all these other degenerative diseases that kill many-fold more people than the coronavirus ever will. You know, we talk about pandemics. We have a pandemic of diabetes and cardiovascular disease, hypertension,
correct,
stroke, and cancer. And so these are... You know, these will be with us long after we've, you know, conquered or forgotten about COVID-19.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, COVID was an eye-opener for society on so many things. Medical, how humanity works with each other, how we interact, how we're either good or bad people among ourselves. To a point, if you notice, the world was one. Like, there was no bombings. There was nothing. It just brought everybody to a standstill. It's like, look, we're vulnerable. Our vulnerability, we need to be good human beings among ourselves and behave. What stops COVID is just being decent human beings and being courteous to each other. So COVID was a real eye-opener for a lot of things.
Indeed.
And I think the mistake is going to be not to listen to those warnings and not learn from them. Yes, we lost a lot of people in New York. If it were for me, I would not lose anybody, right? Mm-hmm. But we lost a lot of people. Now, what do we have to do? Honor them by learning from them, what they provided knowledge to us, so we can actually help other people and make this better in a way.
Okay, well, that's a wonderful statement to conclude on. Can you give us a heads up on how people can find out more about you? You have a website, or you were medical director at FitBody MD Medicine. Is that Puerto Rico based or New York based?
It's Puerto Rico based. I do a lot of athletes down there. It's FitBodyMD.me. And then my Instagram, that I love to try to put complicated stuff into very simple terms, it's FitBodyMD. So that's my Instagram. And I always try to do it night every so often, kind of a question and answer live Instagram, to try to have people just ask questions and see what's on their minds and try to give access to healthcare knowledge to everybody.
Well, you know, you truly epitomize the spirit of intelligent medicine, because, you know, there you were on the front lines dealing with sick patients in New York, using high-tech methods, you know, in the most modern hospitals, but at the very same time, you emphasize natural lifestyle-related approaches to support immunity. So it's been a great discussion.
No, same here. Thank you for having me. And again, it's just, again, back to basics. We need to learn from this. And hopefully we can learn what we've done right and what we've done wrong. It's not about, you know, looking back and feeling sorry. It's about looking back and relearning, because everything is a learning curve. And hopefully when the next COVID or whatever comes about, we learn from this pandemic and we can actually continue as a society as decent human beings and treat each other well.
That's great. That's Dr. Jaime Salas Rushford, author of Fight Colds, Flu, and Other Infections with HCC. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Salas Rushford.
Thank you.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This July 4th weekend, stock up on your favorite supplements during the Independence Day sale at my online full script supplement dispensary. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. July 3rd through 5th, get 10% off and free shipping on my entire inventory of top supplements at drhoffmanstore.com. We stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients and take myself. It's the safest and most convenient way to purchase my curated supplements. Buying through FullScript offers fast shipping, refill reminders via text or email. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA compliant. Authentic, prescription-only supplements, and world-class support. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for 10% off and free shipping from July 3rd through 5th. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.